Well, it is Wednesday, October 11, 2023, and we're in the midst of one crisis after another. Ukraine and Russia, now we've got Israel, Hamas. Boy, you know, everyone wants you to pick a side. My side is the kingdom. I'm on the side of the oppressed. I'm on the side of the brokenhearted. I'm on the side of the wounded and the bleeding. No matter what side that person is on, right? Isn't that the way it should be? So, you know, this group of people have been at war with each other for, 1,400 years, and that's just in the modern incarnation of Islam. You can go back, even in the text, thousands of years, and see that Yahweh has sent his people to war against other people all the time. The steal, kill, destroy, the murderer from the beginning. If you're not on my Telegram channel, you know, there you can kind of see the stuff I post through the day. It's not everything that I agree with. It's stuff that I think is probably notable and should be posted. And so you can go there and check it out. There's some stuff there. I'm just kind of scrolling through the feed right now as I'm talking to you, and because there's definitely some things here that I want to talk about. But I'm not going to talk about everything. So one thing I do want to talk about is crypto. We're just going to briefly fly through a few things here. The Israeli police worked with Binance, right? Binance is one of the largest crypto exchanges. The Israeli police worked with Binance to freeze the accounts of Hamas-linked people that had accounts with Binance, freezing their crypto. Now, I mention this because, you know, I've been talking about cryptocurrencies for well over 10 years, and people have roundly mocked me and ridiculed me for my position on crypto, which I guess in a nutshell, I haven't thought about this for a second, but crypto was really introduced in order to perfect a technology we call the blockchain to enslave us. And what you'll find is really interesting is that all the crypto bros will say, no, man, it's supposed to do the exact opposite. You don't know what you're talking about. Maybe you should learn something before opening your mouth. You need to learn more than just the technicalities of how crypto works. That's what people criticize me the most. I say, you don't understand how it all works. Of course I understand. I've been following technology since I was a child. Like, what are you talking about? And I know how crypto works. I could explain crypto to, you know, at least the level where, you know, no one's going to go, oh, that's a load of nonsense. But it's not about the technicalities of crypto. It's about human nature and psychology and how things work and who actually runs the show. You really think you're going to introduce this competing currency? Really? You think that? And compete with governments who make the rules, who decide whether you're a felon or not, who decide what you can spend your money on and all this kind of stuff. Like, you can't. Like, this is what happened. The Israeli police just went to Binance and said, hey, lock these accounts. Now, you might say, well, that's just an exchange. That's not really they haven't stopped the crypto. Okay, well, kind of have actually. Can't use it. It's locked there. They can't transfer it, right? They're using an online wallet. They don't have a hardware wallet or it wouldn't be on Binance. So they're kind of screwed. What happens when the electricity goes down? Like everyone in Gaza right now, they have no electricity. They ran out of electricity like 24 hours ago. Well, how do those people use crypto? They don't have any electricity, dude. They sure don't have internet. I mean, I think that some of them there have Starlink, but okay, great. And what are they running it on? What electricity are they using to power it? So these two big things have always been kind of whispered, but they need to be taken more seriously. No internet, no crypto, no electricity, no internet, no crypto. But it's worse than that, because when the government says that trading anything but their central bank digital currency is a felony, in other words, hey, use Bitcoin, go to prison. Who's going to do that? Who's going to trade with you? Are you going to buy a pizza, you know, with a minuscule amount of Bitcoin and run the risk of going to prison? No, of course you're not. And you might say, of course I am, I'm just going to do it. But no, you're not. Because, you know, especially if you're married, you've got a family, you got other people to consider. It's not just your actions now, right? So I've said that government would step in and start to regulate it and then would eventually make it a criminal offense to use it because the central bank digital currencies would come along. And I suspect that Trump, when he most likely will win the 2024 election, is going to be the one that's going to make crypto illegal. And you think, no, Trump will never do that. And you'll probably pull out a quote here or there from Trump about crypto where he is being positive and glowing about, which just means nothing. It's Donald Trump, for Pete's sake. But Trump loves the dollar. And that is what is so important, the dollar. Without the dollar, man, without the reserve status, which is going away because of BRICS and other factors, you're 32, 33, how much is it now? $34 trillion in debt? It's probably 40 by now. I'd probably miscount. I think Thomas Massie, the best sitting member of Congress, who the other day mentioned something about the national, I think it was the national debt. Yeah, it was, because he's got this, he's a geek, and he's got this little LCD display that's like, he pins it onto his jacket, self-contains, got a little battery, and he updates it every day over USB, and it has a counter showing the national debt. That's wild. This is a guy who's got a self-contained homestead, raises his own food, meat. He stores all his solar power in old Tesla batteries that he reclaimed. He's a really bright guy. Has a several degrees from MIT and other places. Smart, smart guy. So he was talking the other day about how much the national debt has shot up. The dollar needs to be strengthened. And Trump will do whatever he needs to do that. And one of the things he's going to do should be so obvious. I mean, I don't know why no one else is talking about it. He's going to make crypto illegal because it competes with the dollar. No, you can't. No, you got to use the dollar. Here, you want to use a digital currency? Fine. Here's our central bank digital currency. Use this. Okay? That's what's going to happen. So the largest Hindu temple in the United States has been completed now and is now open. And I think that's in Pennsylvania. I think that's right. Is it in Pennsylvania? I'm just clicking the link here. No, it's in New Jersey, I'm sorry. And they've got this massive temple. Remember, who's the primary god of Hinduism? It depends how you look at it. You know, you've got Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. And now, if you're one of my Christian friends, you're probably not going to like me saying this, and that's fine. It's just is what it is. Brahma is Abba Father. Shiva, the destroyer, is Yahweh, and Vishnu is Yeshua. It's the same royal family, the same monarchy that's been ruling this planet for a long, long time, long before we got here. So they just built this massive temple. It looks beautiful. 12 years it took them. It's an incredible amount of time. Looks beautiful. I'm looking at a little video of it right now. But it's interesting, isn't it, that we're told in the end that the whole world would be worshiping the beast. That's interesting, because the beast is Yahweh, and we know it is because Jesus said Yahweh was the beast. Revelation 13. It talks there about the beast. Then it says that the beast is like a lion, a leopard, and a bear, and he has the whole world worship him, or they receive great punishment, including death. Right, so that's the same person that Yahweh himself describes as himself in Hosea 13. Go check that out. Revelation 13, Hosea 13, go and compare the two. You'll see that Yeshua is directly saying that Yahweh is the beast. The whole world's going to worship after the beast. These are the things that we're heading into, eh? Like, things are starting to get really, really interesting, and a lot of people now saying, man, this looks like biblical prophecy is unfolding before our eyes. There's a lot of people, and there's a growing argument. It's an old argument, but there's a growing argument that, no, all of this happened in around 70 AD with the destruction of the temple and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, you're just reading into it too much. No, no, no. Like 5% of the stuff that's talked about, you could kind of project into 70 AD and said, oh, it kind of happened there. But what about the 95% of the rest? It's never happened. Like, when's the first time that the whole world was deceived by the pharmaceutical industry? Well, that's in Revelation. And we didn't even understand that because we translate, in most Bible translations, this word pharmakia as sorcery or witchcraft. But what does that sound like? Pharmacia, yeah. Because that's where we get the root pharmacia for pharmaceutical. Pharmacy. Go to a pharmacy and get your pharmaceuticals. And isn't it strange that the Lord's revelation to John actually says that the whole world would be deceived by the leaders of the world and the pharmaceutical industry? And when has that happened? Well, it just happened. Well, didn't happen in 70 AD. So I'm very aware of the argument, been studying the text a little while. I don't agree with the argument at all. I don't agree that any of it actually applies to 70 AD. It seems to be today. And I think that we are going to see a more literal unfolding of what we read about in Matthew 24, predominantly in Revelation. Now, you can disagree. That's okay. You're allowed to disagree. But I think that we're going to watch it all play out in front of our eyes. There's a guy on Twitter, X, and he is saying what I've suggested for many years, that even though I kind of like Trump, look, I think most people have a love-hate relationship. I think if you ask, what do you like about Trump? What do you hate about Trump? Everybody would be able to answer both questions, right? There's certainly things I don't like about Trump, and there's certainly things I really do like about Trump. But Christians are now holding Trump up as this savior, this messiah, and even some of the Jews are. It's starting to get a bit interesting with the way that he's being championed by some Jews. So when we're looking at this thing in the Middle East taking place right now between Israel and Hamas, what's the possibility of that becoming a situation where the Temple Mount is, you know, destroyed or severely damaged? You couldn't really destroy it, but definitely you could destroy the Al-Aqsa Mosque that sits on top of it. You could destroy the Dome of the Rock that's on top of it and then build a temple to Yahweh on top of it. I think there's a series of events that may play out here over the next few years. This is not a prediction. Someone's going to say, oh, you predicted this and didn't happen. This is not a prediction. But I do think it's very possible that Trump is going to come in just at the right time. War is breaking out, probably in exchange of nuclear weapons. Look, I think a lot of people are like, goodness me, man, there's so many things to say about this. First of all, nuclear weapons are real. Hiroshima, Nagasaki, all the tests that have taken place around the world are real. My grandfather died at the age of 51 with cancer in his lungs because he was on one of the ships where the United States was testing with other countries. Australia and New Zealand were there when New Zealand used to have a Navy. And we were around those testing sites, and hundreds of New Zealand servicemen were on those boats and exposed to massive amounts of radiation and died of cancer. And the family finally got a payout on that after he died. My grandmother was not a very honorable person, and she was married within a few weeks of his death, and they were living at large with the money he got. It wasn't a very good situation, but nuclear weapons are real. And the United States has been doing a lot of preparation for a nuclear test of late, right? Just the last few weeks. Russia has been observing that. Russia's been speaking about that. Russia's been saying that they're going to test a nuclear weapon as well. They're thinking of testing their Poseidon nuclear powered and nuclear equipped, drone torpedo. They've built 10, I think, 8 or 10 of these massive, like they're the size of a small submarine, completely unmanned. They're drones. They are nuclear powered. They can stay submerged for years and years without needing to come to the surface. Russia is, they invented HAARP. And HAARP was originally invented to try to communicate with submarines under the water. So Russia is probably going to test a nuke very soon. And hopefully then these people that think nukes are fake, I'm serious, it's a little bit weird. There are people that think nuclear weapons are not real. I really don't have time for that kind of thing. Because people want to create their own artificial reality and then live inside of it. And I can't do that. Like, because I want to know what's actually going on. And you got to be more intellectually honest with yourself than that. Of course they're real. But here's one of the other lies about nukes. They're not as bad as what everybody thinks. Now, certainly, they're a lot more powerful now than they ever were. So when one goes off, I think Russia tested a 50-megaton nuclear weapon a long time ago. The largest, I think, that's ever been tested on Earth. That's kind of massive. That's the size that would just completely take out all of Manhattan in one go. That's, and New Jersey and just the boroughs and just everything, just goodbye. That's a big bomb. If we dropped a bomb the size that we dropped on Nagasaki or Hiroshima on Manhattan, you're going to wipe out maybe, 20 blocks or something, but nothing like these large weapons that we have today. But the people that are not in those blast zones are going to be moderately fine. Obviously, we're going to put a lot of radioactive material into the atmosphere. It's going to get breathed in. It's going to lower life expectancies all over the planet. But Nagasaki and Hiroshima are thriving cities today and have been for many decades. So people will rebuild. We have this idea that, our nuclear explosion, that's it over for the world. That's just not true. It's just fear. If there's a nuclear exchange, obviously some people are going to be in the blast zone, they're going to die. People immediately outside are going to die either immediately or very soon. People downwind, they're also going to be in a lot of trouble. But it's not like everybody is going to be in a lot of trouble, right? I have some bug out locations. If the shit really hits the fan like that, I'm out of here. Actually, that's a good segue into what we need to talk about with Hamas and these threats they're making for this Friday. So some people, excuse me, I shouldn't do the smacking. Some people in Hamas have been telling the world, telling Muslims all around the world to attack on Friday, including here in the United States. So be careful. If you are a lady, I probably would not be in dangerous places, this Friday and maybe tomorrow, Thursday and Saturday, who knows. Will something happen? Hopefully not. Hopefully not. We don't know for sure. Just don't know for sure. All right. So, oh, goodness me. I muted myself to cough and then I unmute myself and I cough. So, just be really careful. This Friday, just be careful, period. Things are getting so bad. I've been telling people long before anybody else to get out of the cities. Now everyone's telling everyone to get out of the cities. You've got to get out of the cities. I'm in a city right now, a small city, north of Denver. But if something happens, I got an RV, I'm out of here. We're in very, you know, we're in a dangerous predicament right now, and things could really escalate in all kinds of directions. So, you know, if you have heat, then carry it at all times. And I mean, talking to some people even today that are not normally people that would be remotely interested in guns. And so thankfully they're getting some real training, and because they understand that things are changing. Things are changing. Now, I made a post today on Facebook and Twitter, and it sure got some attention. So I'm going to read the post out to you, and we're going to talk about that. How long have we been going here? 20 minutes. All right. I like to kind of reframe the things that we find in the text so that it can kind of jolt you and go, you know, hey, you know, have you thought about things from this different angle than the typical Christian narrative you're familiar with? So let's listen to this. This is a conversation, obviously a made-up conversation between Jesus and a Christian. And it goes like this. Jesus, I don't want you to, this is Jesus speaking, right, to a Christian. I don't want you to be confused over changing names and beliefs. So I'm going to describe the devil, our mutual enemy, for you. Are you ready? Christian says, yes, go ahead, Jesus. Describe the devil, Satan, for us, so we won't make any mistakes on who he is. Jesus then says, okay, listen carefully. The devil is a murderer from the Genesis. He is a liar. He is a thief. He steals. He kills. He destroys. He makes himself appear as an angel of light. He is a wild beast like a lion, a leopard, and a bear, and will demand the world worship him or die. Now you know how to recognize the devil. The Christian responds, oh, we know that person. The Old Testament tells us all about him, and he is exactly like you described. But clearly you've made a mistake, Jesus, because you're perfectly describing Yahweh, and he's your father and our God, not the devil. And then Jesus responds with his palm in his face, right? His face in his palm. I've had people say, nothing of what you just said is in the Bible. This is all completely made up, and call me a bunch of names and stuff like that. And don't do that. We don't have a lot of patience for that. I've been teaching the Bible a little while. Don't make stuff up. So I just want to go through this part where we have this description that Jesus gives of these things, right? And just tell you, like, where do we find this? Like, these things are all in the Bible. The devil is a murderer from the Genesis. Well, that comes from John 8:44. The devil is a murderer from the beginning. That's a euphemism for Genesis. Genesis means what? Beginning. So the devil is a murderer from the Genesis. He is a liar. He is a thief. He steals, he kills, he destroys. Well, the lying part, again, comes from John 8:44, same verse. He is a liar. He steals, he kills, he destroys. Right? Where does that come from? John 10:10. He makes himself appear as an angel of light. We all know this. The devil makes himself appear as an angel of light. He is a wild beast like a lion, a leopard, and a bear, and will demand the world worship him or die. Well, where do we get that from? Well, that's the description of the beast from Revelation 13. We're talking about that at the beginning. And we find that Yahweh describes himself like that in Hosea 13. So, you know, this is why I reframe things. Because otherwise, it's just, you just use all the religious jargon, the cliche, and it just goes over everyone's head. They're like, what are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. Huh? We need to be more switched on. We need to study the text. You know, Christians say things about the Bible that are, you know, fundamentally false. They'll say it's, you know, some special book from God, that it's inerrant. There's no flaw. It's the word of God, right? These things are not true. The word of God is Jesus. You can't take his name and title, excuse me, and put it onto a book. That's just blasphemy, actually. That's really high blasphemy. So, but the Bible is something that we should be digging into, and I've run a Bible ministry for over 25 years. You can go there to godsipod.com. You can purchase Bibles directly from me there. You can probably get them cheaper on Amazon, but these are signed, and people do that just to support me. So you can do that at godsipod.com. You can add that to your podcast app, and you can listen to the whole Bible for free in audio, beautiful modern translation. And I really recommend you go do that. But I teach the Bible all day long. I've been teaching the Bible. I mean, I gave my life to the Lord when I was 11 years of age. I thought that I had said something wrong, and I didn't. And I've never backslidden. I've never turned my back on him, never at any point in my entire life. I've worked with different ministries. I've been a pastor. I've planted fellowships. Here's my life. The kingdom is my life. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is what has his approval. Talking about his father. That's my life. Have you ever read this little tiny book? It's called The Pursuit of God. And it was written by a Chicago pastor in 1948, A.W. Tozer, Aidan Wilson Tozer. No one has had more of an influence on my life than A.W. Tozer. And that book, which I've read so many times that I couldn't even, over 100 times, probably closer to 300 times. I just love it. I would just read it. In the introduction, he says, right at the end, he's talking about why he wrote this book. And he said, though my fire may not be large, it is yet real. And there may be some who can light their candle at its flame. Well, thank you, Aidan, because I did. And that book, if you've not read that book, it's public domain, published in 1948. They did not extend the copyright, so it's available to everybody. Anybody can publish that book. You'll find it in, thrift stores and things pretty readily. And I used to buy it in bulk and give them away to people. And maybe I should do that again. I would so strongly urge you, if you want to know, man, what's gotten into this guy? Why is he like this? Read that book. Because that's where a lot of this fire came from. And if you just want to look up Aidan Wilson Tozer, you're not going to find anything against the guy. This guy is, I think that book is not as popular as it was when I was in ministry, in the younger years. But back then, it was in one of the top 10 or 20 Christian classics. It's definitely still going to be in the top 50. So get that book somehow. You can just read it online. There's going to be bunches of people that just have it on their website to read. The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer. Just a magnificent book. So then somebody actually turned that little thing that I made into this video that's now going around. That's amazing. Thank you for doing that. I appreciate that. They just made this, I don't know, they used AI or I don't know how they did it. They did it so fast because it was so quickly after I posted it. And they tagged me and said, hey, see this. It's what have you done here? That's pretty cool. All right. It is Wednesday, October 11, and I want to keep these podcasts going on a regular basis. This is going to be a way that is low bandwidth. Although, I tried to save that file that didn't get picked up by Spotify, and I tried to save it as an M4A file, and Spotify didn't like it, but they're much smaller and higher quality than MP3. I don't know why anybody uses MP3 anymore. Really, why? That's so weird. Because, the M4A format, which, a lot of people think is Apple's format, but it's not. They were just an early adopter of the format. It's actually the Motion Pictures Experts Group, the MPEG group, created that format, and Apple went, yeah, we'll use that, because it's like one quarter of the size of an MP3 at the same quality. So like half the size, but superior quality. So I'm going to have to, though, put everything onto the feed as an MP3. Yeah, just is what it is. But in an age where, you know, if the internet goes down, there's not going to be a lot of bandwidth. Nobody wants to download a 1 gigabyte video file. They just want to hear what you got to say. And this podcast feed, which I've run for years and years and years on and off, decades actually, will be here for you. So subscribe. If you're listening to this somewhere else other than the podcast feed, get over to israelanderson.com and, you know, get it connected into your podcast app so it notifies you of each one. And I think I'm going to try. Life gets in the way, so it won't be every day, but I'll try to do these every single day. And I want to do something a little bit different with these too. I want to pray. And, you know, I've thought about this for many years. I'm kind of conflicted about it because, you know, we can find where it's like in the text, where, you know, pray, go pray in private. Don't make your prayers public. But we also are living in an age where people need to be, how do I say this? People need someone to provide the incentive to close their eyes and start to commune with God, right? And when I say God, I mean the Father of Jesus, Abba Father. So, Father, we thank you for who you are, and we thank you for your kingdom. And you are God, and there is nobody that is above you, no matter the people that claim to be you. So we thank you for sending your son. We thank you for everything that you have done for us and even through us. And this is just spontaneous, but I just feel that I want to ask you, would you pour your spirit into people and teach people how they can lay hands on the sick and see them recover? Because we're in a time of great disease, right? Disease. People are sick everywhere. And so, Father, would you come and teach us how to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, and help us to step out in faith and do that in our ignorance. And we ask that you'd forgive us for all the wrongs we do towards ourselves, towards other people. We live in an age where we kind of miss the mark all the time. You know, we don't treat people well. We can be so impatient. And it's hard not to be, because the world around us is insane. And so forgive us, Father. And forgive those as well that are also insane and are doing wrong things against us. You know, I like the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I always think of that. Do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. Boy, the world would be such a great place if we just all did that one thing. Father, we thank you again for who you are. We ask that your kingdom would come crashing into earth. We look forward to the hopefully imminent arrival of your son. And certainly a lot of things suggest that that is the case, but maybe we're wrong. And so that's okay. We will keep trucking along, and we just thank you that your son has freed us from Yahweh. And one day we will get to see you face to face and thank you personally. And I hope that day is really soon. All right. Well, thank you for listening, and thank you for subscribing. And I will talk to you when I talk to you next, which might be tomorrow or the next day. And if something comes up, then I might just throw something up here real fast. Oh, one other thing before I go. You can always support me by going to israelanderson.com. I think there's a support link right at the very, 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 very bottom of the page. Go there, and you can also go to my website, ialife.com, where I have some things there. Certainly appreciate the support. As I move back into ministry in this way, full-time, if you don't have someone to support in ministry and you want to, please consider doing that for me. You have a wonderful rest of your day or evening, and we'll talk again real soon. Take care. Bye.